All right, let's get started here. This will be the second lesson for Bus Ministry 101, part of Baptist Basics University. Thank you for listening, and we're going to jump right into the thing. We're going to cover some basics about the bus ministry, just some basic concepts, some ideas, and some general pointers I just want to get across to you that I feel are important and maybe not necessarily fit in some other sections, so I want to go ahead and bring those out here. First off, let's discuss what the bus ministry is. The bus ministry is a very simple ministry. It's a very basic concept. Basically, the concept is let's get kids to church and let's get them back home. It's two bus rides. That's the basic idea of the ministry. It's just a method of getting kids who would not otherwise come, get them to come to church. Maybe their parents work, maybe their parents just won't come, but it's just an opportunity to get those kids. You know, there, a lot of people are very anxious to have that type of moral training for their kids, and they still believe it's a good thing for their kids to learn about Jesus and learn about God. Now, they may not be necessarily keen on doing so themselves, but they want that kind of stuff. Everybody wants their kids to be better off than they are. Well, the bus ministry kind of feeds off that that feeling and that thought process, and it just allows us to get these kids in, get them under the sound of the gospel, get them under some good training, and just helps us to have an impact on those young kids' lives. It's also an inroad to these homes that maybe we necessarily would not reach. People who may not darken the door of the church normally, if you get their kids come pretty faithfully, you'd be surprised. They might just show up one of these days. But the bus ministry is a very, very simple ministry, very, very simple concept. Now, it broadens out based off that simple concept of just the bus rides into, you know, we're going to visit to see who's riding and try to find more kids. Then we're going to get them to church. The church ministry should be something somewhat separate from the bus ministry. You may want to implement different Sunday school classes and maybe a different children's church program if you're a larger ministry and have the workers and ability to do that. But basically, that takes care of itself, and then they get back on the bus and you take them home. It's a very basic, simple idea for a ministry. Now, bus ministries do come in all shapes and sizes. The church I attend right now, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Decatur, Texas, we're a smaller church. We run less than 200 people total on Sunday morning, and we have a smaller bus ministry. We have, you know, honestly, I'm not even sure how many routes we have. I think 6, 7, something like that. And most of those are van routes. We run vans to communities in our county. We run vans to some of these smaller communities. We do have a big yellow bus, and we've also got a little mid-sized people mover deal, a little bit nicer vehicle. We use that. But we have a very small ministry compared to some of the other ones. We'll run 50, 60 on a kind of an average day. Now, a few weeks ago, we had evangelist Kevin Walker in town and with his Cowboy Carnival. And we had over 100. So for the first time in a long time, we've broke 100. Had a real big day. It was good to see the numbers back up there. But that's a pretty small ministry by some standards. Now, when I was in college, I was up in working in Clay's Moreau Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, when I was in Commonwealth Baptist College. And there, they have a fairly large ministry. They have more than a dozen routes. I'd be lying if I tried to tell you a number, but back then I'm pretty sure they had a little over a dozen, and I'm sure they have more now. And they run basically all big yellow buses, traditional bus route in that sense, but they will have 400 or 500 or more kids every Sunday. They actually, this is very interesting, maybe an idea you can implement, they actually run their buses on Sunday afternoon. They don't run their buses during the regular Sunday morning service. Now, they do have a separate bus ministry that the college kids work that is during Sunday morning, but the main thrust, the main bus ministry is actually on Sunday afternoon. And it they bring the kids in, have about an hour's program, and take them home. It's something very interesting they decided to do to prevent some discipline problems and such on Sunday morning, also due to some space restraints that they had with their buildings. That was something they implemented. It works very, very well for them. In fact, there's some kids that get off the bus from another church in town in the morning, get right onto the bus, and come back to church at Clay's Mills. They actually go to two different churches on two different bus routes. So, very interesting. But that's how they do it. Really, it just depends on the size of your church, the amount of work you can put into it, and the area that you have to work. You know, a town like we have here at Decatur, Texas, we have a little over 5,000 people. It's going to be very difficult to run 200 or 300 on a bus route in our town. Now, if you spread out through the county, I'm sure it'd be quite possible. But also, I mean, if your church only runs 150, you're probably not going to have 300 on your bus. It's just the law of averages. There's a ratio they recommend, and it's pretty average. I can't remember what that is off the top of my head. I want to say it's something like 2-to-1 Sunday morning attendance to bus ratio that is supposed to be recommended, that you'll hear thrown around some, but not thrown around a lot, but I'm probably wrong on that. But it'd be difficult for us to run hundreds. Now, at the same token, if we were in a larger town like, say, Dallas or Fort Worth that are nearby, if we were down there and had a church, you know, it would honestly be a shame if we only ran 50, because there would be so many kids there. I mean, we could fill up the buses. So it really just depends on your area, depends on your church, the size of the church, the amount of workers you have, and just the what you have available. I want to cover this real quick. These apply to a lot of different areas, but there's basically three things you need if you're just going to flat out start from scratch in really any ministry. The three F's. The first of these is finances. You need to have money to run buses. It does cost money. This ministry will not mark it down, will not pay for itself. It will cost you money. It will sometimes cost you lots of money. You know, a used bus is going to cost you thousands of dollars. The gas or diesel is not cheap, and it's getting more expensive every week, it seems like. It's going to cost money for promotions. It's going to cost money for the electricity and the upkeep of the church building. I mean, all this stuff just multiplies. It's going to cost money to run a bus route. You're going to have to insure your vehicles. You're going to have to pay for repairs. And I'm going to tell you something, your bus will break down right before your big day, and you'll have to spend hundreds of dollars most of the time right before your big day. It seems to be the only time that the buses seem to want to break down is right before your big day. But that's going to happen. You're going to have to buy tires. You're going to have to replace an alternator. You're going to have to, you know, change the oil. You're going to have to do all these things, just, you know, routine maintenance, and then some repair, some minor, some major repair. You may have to do transmission work, something like that. But there's a lot of stuff. It costs money to run a bus ministry, and you need to realize that when you're getting into it. It's going to cost some. I can't give you any facts or figures on it, but it's going to cost you money. You need to sit down and do some planning, just like Jesus talked about in the parable, talking about the fellow that was going to build the tower, and how he didn't count his money and couldn't finish the tower, and how everybody laughed at him. Well, it'd be about the same thing here. You don't want to have the money to buy the bus and not have money to have gas, and you have the bus just sit out there and the tires rot out from underneath it because you don't have money for gas. But that's the first step. The first step is finances. The second is faculty. That's the people and the workers. They're going to make this bus ministry run. You're going to have some people who will be faithful. You'll have to have some people who will put forth some effort. Some people will be faithful, but they may not put forth some effort. So you're going to have to find some people to work the bus routes. You're going to have to find people that can drive these bus routes. People that will be willing to go get their CDL, commercial driver's license, to drive these buses. And we'll cover a little bit about the driver in a little bit, but every bus route should have at least two workers, including the driver. If you have just a van to start out with, just a 15-passenger van, that's great. You're going to need a driver and at least one more worker. You really, honestly, you should never have just one person on the bus. It's just not good in today's world. You got to keep your testimony up, and I'm going to say a lot about that in the course of this series of lectures about that. A lot of what we do is influenced by a lot of the scandal things that are going on. We've got to keep up a good testimony. But moving along, you may have to run a separate program for these kids. Maybe you decide that you're bringing in some kids and you don't want them teaching your church kids bad words. That will happen. You'll have some good church kids come in and they'll learn a new word in Sunday school from a bus kid. That stuff happens. So maybe you decide, well, we'll run a separate Sunday school ministry for these kids. That's great. That's fine. Do you have people that can work it? And listen, don't just pile this stuff on the one or two people that will do it all. You need to spread this out. Don't make it so dependent on one or two people that if they do get burned out and quit, that the ministry dries up. Or if they get called somewhere else and move, you know, your bus ministry just stops. You need to spread this out amongst a lot of people. I know that, you know, they say 10% of the people do 90% of the work, but I'm going to tell you something, that 10% of the workers are the people who will be working in the bus ministry for the most part. So don't use your 10% of the 10% to do all the work. You got to spread it out. The third F, first was finances, the second was faculty, the third is facilities. You've got to have a place for these kids to go. If your church building is absolutely packed out on Sunday morning, you probably don't have much room to be bringing in more kids. Your Sunday school classes may not have room. You may not have a place to run a children's church ministry. Perhaps you could run them in your regular service, but you may even be at the point that you don't even have room in your auditorium. You've got to think about these things. Where are you going to put these kids? Who's going to teach them? How are you going to pay for the buses? Just some very simple things there, and you can apply that to any ministry, whether it be a Christian school, whether it be even starting a church, a college, a radio ministry, whatever. Those three F's apply to them all. And I just want to get those covered. Those are the basic things you need to cover before you start any ministry. Now, well, I'm just going to give you a lot of quick points here about the bus mission, some things I think that will help you, some things I've learned. Kind of a little bit of random, kind of a little shotgun blast here we're going to take in a lot of different areas. So just bear with me on this. I just want to get these in here because they may not necessarily fit into some other areas, and I may cover some of them again later on in other lectures, but I want to get these out of the way up front. The first thing I want you to know is that most riders will be from lower class neighborhoods. In every community, in every town, in every city, in every county, in every state, there's a need to reach young people. However, inside every town, there are going to be places that are just better suited to find bus kids in. I'm going to tell you something. If you live in a large town and you have the large apartment complexes that are a little bit on the rundown side, you can run a bus and fill it up at one apartment complex. It doesn't take a lot of work. It's all real confined. It's real easy door knocking. But it's not that hard to do it. Now, you may live out in the boondocks in a little town. You may not have that luxury. But nevertheless, a basic rule of thumb is that you will find most of your riders in what would be considered the other side of the tracks. Those are the people who will be more apt to send their kids with you. Once you get up into a more middle-class neighborhood, those people will either already attend church, or they will have stuff going on Sunday mornings. I'm not going to say you'll never find kids out there or you won't build a bus route. I've helped successfully build up two bus routes that were in pretty middle-class areas in Lexington, and I talked about in the introduction. So it can be done, but I'm just telling you, it is a lot harder work, and it's just not the best place to be building a bus route. You need to stick to the lower class neighborhoods in your efforts. That's the easiest, simplest thing to do. I do realize that people need to reach middle class kids. You don't need to neglect them. However, it is foolish to be applying all your energy and all your power to a field that's just not as ripe as others. it would be just like, say we had a farm, and one half of this farm is very rocky soil, very poor soil. It'll grow, but just not real great. The other half of the farm is good, low black land soil, and it is just the richest stuff you've ever seen. And you know, you throw down a corn kernel, and you got to jump out of the way because it'll sprout up and grow up your nose if you don't move. It comes up so fast. Now, it would be foolish for us to plant all our crops on the rocky soil when we've got that very good fertile soil that would be more productive. So what would we do as a farming situation? I guarantee you, we'd be planting most of our crops over in that good fertile soil. Does that mean we may not use the land that's a little bit rocky, a little less fertile? No, I'd probably still put something out there and probably would still try to use it and still try to cultivate it. But we wouldn't put all our stock in using that because it's just not as good land. The same thing goes when you're working with a bus route. You're going to have areas in your town that are just better than others. Mark it down. It's just the way it is. And you will find this as you go out visiting. Certain areas you get a warmer reception than others. Don't focus all your attention on an area that's not that great. I didn't say neglect it. Please don't get me wrong. But focus the majority on your attention to a field that you're going to get a good harvest out of. And I'm telling you, in the bus ministry, that is going to be in a lower class neighborhood. I had someone tell me once, I don't even recall who it was. I just remember the conversation. And they had been a bus captain for a number of years. And they told me that at that particular point in their ministry, that they didn't even pick up a kid who lived in a brick house. Now, this was a few years back, and times have changed maybe a little bit, and you know, there's some brick homes now that, you know, that's not so uncommon. But the fact was, he said, you know, all the kids he picked up were in rundown homes. And that's just, listen, folks, I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to sound cruel. And I know this goes against a lot of the thinking that you'll see on the, you know, the religious program on TV. It's all middle class oriented. But Jesus went to the poor people. Jesus went to the outcasts. And let me tell you something, that's the kind of people you're going to be reaching with the bus ministry. Don't get any ideas about reaching millionaires with the bus ministry. You're not. You're going to be picking up kids whose families can't hardly pay their bills. That is the type of people you will probably be picking up. Not all of them, but a majority of them will probably be that way. Yeah, your area may be a little different, and praise God if it is different. But that is just the general rule of thumb that most people who will take in the bus ministry, who've worked in it for a number of years, will tell you. Something else I've learned, and this may be also a little controversial, but I'm going to tell you just my personal experience and some of the stuff I've seen. I believe slow growth is the best. It's also more common. You don't see a lot of explosive growth. Now, you will hear stories, and the reason why you hear stories is because it does not happen very often. It's a pretty odd thing. You will hear stories about people who go out and, bless God, they sign up 20 or 30 new riders in one Saturday. Hey, praise God for them. That will not happen every week. And let me tell you something. If you were to do that, you put 20 new kids on the bus route that don't know your program, don't know your singing, you're going to have a wild ride. And because the kids don't know you, they don't know the songs, they don't know what you've got going on, and you're going to have discipline problems on weeks like that. I'm not trying to discourage it. Please say I feel bad here. I feel like I'm just begging you to listen to me on this, but I'm just saying from my personal experience that slow, steady growth is the best. It gives you a chance to get kids in, to get them plugged into the program, give them a chance to learn the song, and it just works out 100 times better. And I'm going to tell you something, this is the way most bus routes grow. Bus routes won't always grow by 20 or 10 or 50. They're going to grow by one or two a week. Maybe one or two a month. And maybe they just barely grow and keep up with what they lose. But I'm going to tell you, slow growth is usually the way it works. Don't get it in your head that you're going to go out and set the woods on fire and you're going to fill up three buses after 2 weeks. That's not the way it's going to work. It has done that. Some people have been able to do that. And praise God if you can and you can maintain your sanity. But it's more realistic to think that you may only be running 10 after a month. You may only be running 20 after a month. You may be running 30 in 2 or 3 months. Listen, it may take you 6 months to get 30 people on the bus. It may take you 6 months to fill up a 15-passenger van. A lot of it depends on the area. But I'm going to tell you, slow growth is the best. That's what you need to expect. Expect slow growth. Work for explosive growth, but keep your mind on that you will probably have slow growth. And don't get discouraged with that, because I'm going to tell you, that's probably the best. Have you ever noticed when you look outside at your yard, the grass doesn't grow as fast as the weeds? I'm not saying the fast-growing bus route is evil, but I'm going to tell you something. Most plants out there that are worth having take a while to grow. It takes some time. Corn doesn't pop up overnight. Wheat doesn't pop up overnight. Peanuts don't grow overnight. Watermelons don't grow overnight. Whatever you like, they don't grow overnight. It takes years. A lot of fruit trees take years before they produce fruit. And that's what you're going to be dealing with the bus mystery. You got to think long term, long haul when you're dealing with that. In fact, with most ministries, you need to think that way. Also, bear in mind that your attendance will fluctuate, especially on a new bus route. You're going to have high weeks and you will have a low week right after it. That's something else here. Usually a high week is followed by a low week. But you can have 30 and then you'll have just 20 riders the next week. You may go from 50 to 30 and then be back to 50 the next week. They're going to jump around. Bus routes don't just stay super steady. Now, after some time of working and getting a good base of faithful riders, they do level out, and you will have I'm gonna tell you, it works with plateaus. It is really the best way to explain it. You will reach a new plateau. You'll skip 5 or 6 kids, and then you'll hit in the teens, and you'll seem like you're hitting in the teens for a while. Then finally, you'll break the 20s. And boy, praise God, you had 20 people on your bus. And you'll drop back down the teens for a little bit. And then suddenly, you're hitting the 20s pretty consistently. Then, bless God, you hit 30 people. And boy, it's exciting. And you slip back down the 20s. You may have 17 one week. But finally, after a few months, it gets back up to 30. And you're getting excited. Boy, you've got so many kids. And you can see the growth. Listen, that is the way it works. It fluctuates. You're going to have big weeks and low weeks, but it's like reaching plateaus. It's very similar to, and I'm not a big golfer, but it's similar to the way golf works. Anybody that's took off to learn golf will tell you this, that they'll go out and they'll shoot around 100 for a while, and then they'll work and work and practice, and they'll work on the short game and their putting, and they'll knock 5 or 6 strokes off, and then finally they're hitting in the mid-90s, and they can do that pretty consistent. And then, you know, then before they know it, they're hitting right about 90, then right about 85, and it seems like they just keep hitting, they keep learning something new or practicing something and getting it a little bit more refined, and it just seems to knock 3 or 4 strokes off. And their scores just keep lowering. It's like they just hit new plateaus and lowering the score. It's very similar to the way a bus route works. You're going to be hitting new plateaus all the time and getting more kids. And it's going to level off for a while. Then you'll grow a little bit and it may slack off. But it really, honestly, it is. That's the best way to think about it. It's like climbing up steps. It's hitting new plateaus. Now, some people, goal setting, I want to cover that real quick. Goal setting is something that I think you should do. A lot of people do it wrong, especially on the bus ministry. When they're dealing with goals, most bus captains will say, we want to have 20 people in a month. We want to have 20 people next week when you're just starting out. And I'm going to tell you, that is very, very unrealistic. It's not going to happen. You're not going to grow by 10 a week, most likely. it's going to take some time. Now, I do say set goals, but you need to be very realistic about this. In the beginning, you may only want to shoot for 5 or 10. And then once you get that going, you may shoot, hey, I want 15 or 20 or 30. And you need to just keep setting your goal a little bit further out, a little bit further out to where, hey, if you sign up 5 or 6 new riders in a couple weeks, you've got that goal. And those are the kind of goals that you need to set. A lot of people set them very unrealistically, and they get disillusioned and they get burned out very quickly because they just expect kids just to line up to get on the bus. No, you've got to go find them. Someone did once say that you need to set your goals on effort and not on results. That is, that you would set a goal to visit for 2 extra hours on Saturday instead of having a goal to gain 20 riders. And I'm going to tell you, I think that is very great. That's a very true and wise statement, especially in the bus ministry. You really don't have control about who gets on your bus on Sunday morning, and you'll think you'll have a big day. You've got a bunch of faithful kids, and they'll all go to grandma's house or all go spend the night at a friend's house, and they'll all be out of town. They'll all get the flu bug. And your route that you thought you were going to have 30 will have 15 because of it. That stuff happens. You don't have a lot of direct control over that. But what you do have a lot of direct control over is what you do. And so what you need to do, honestly, say, hey, I'm going to knock 20 new doors this Saturday. I'm going to knock 10. I'm going to knock 5. Set a goal like that. Says, I'm going to knock some new doors. I'm going to try to sign up a new rider. I'm going to try to find a new stop today. I'm going to knock doors till I find a new stop today. Maybe you want to do that. But I think that's much better than setting a goal that says, we're going to have 30 riders tomorrow. Now, don't get me wrong. I think you need goals. I like goals to shoot for. A couple weeks ago when we had the big day at our church, we had a goal for our bus route. Now, my bus route, as I've said, is with a 15-passenger van. And my goal was I wanted 15 kids on that 15-passenger van. I want it full. And I guess kind of neglected, you know, me and my dad being two workers, but I wanted 15 kids. I wanted a full van. And I'm going to tell you, I pretty much knew I was going to be able to reach that. I knew the strength of the promotion would work. I knew I had faithful enough kids to count on that if they were in town and they weren't puking, they were going to be there. In fact, if they were puking, they might even come anyway. But I just knew that would be a very reachable goal. I didn't set it to be reachable. I set it to be realistic because I couldn't fit that many more kids in my van. Well, I'm going to tell you, we had 20 kids. I mean, amazing. But, you know, I did set a goal. I'm not against setting goals, but they need to be very realistic goals. They need to be goals you can reach. And don't think it's the end of the world if you don't reach your goal. Now, a general rule of thumb, and this will help you if you are setting goals, a general rule of thumb that I've heard, and honestly is pretty true, is that 1 hour of visiting will support 10 riders on your bus route. That's a good thing to keep in mind. If you have 20 kids on your bus route, I guarantee you're spending close to 2 hours. Now, if you have a bunch of workers and you all split up and visit different areas of the route, when I was in college and had the college bus route, we had all these workers and we had more workers than we needed because basically they just had a few routes and they split up most of the college kids and gave everybody a bunch of workers. So we'd actually have 3 or 4 groups out visiting. And we would all spend 2 or 3 hours out there. And honestly, by breaking that down, we should have ran 70 or 80. We were running close to 30. So the rule is not a hard rule that you will never break. But it is a general rule of thumb that is pretty straightforward. And this is something you'll keep in mind. If you want to have 30 people in your bus route, put in 3 hours. If you want to have 40, put in 4 hours. It's going to take some time. Growth in the bus ministry requires a lot of time and a lot of work. I don't want to make it sound too rosy. I don't want to make it sound too difficult either because, honestly, it's not that hard of a ministry. It's a very simple ministry, and a lot of stuff you do is very simple things. And I'm going to cover a lot of that. But just these simple things. Set a goal for how much work you're going to put in. And then sit back and
well, don't sit back, but then sit back and see the results that come in. I'm getting a little tongue-tied here, but we're at the end of this lesson. I just want to get some of that out of the way, just some basics about what is the bus ministry, what you need, and just a few thoughts that made it a little bit of shotgun style covering some of that. But a lot of points I felt like I need to cover, and some of those don't necessarily fit in with some of the other lessons. The next lesson we're going to look at in lesson 3 will be covering workers and responsibilities. We're going to look at what the workers you need and the type of responsibilities that you give them on a bus route. They're very important. So I thank you for listening. I hope you'll listen to the next lesson too. Thank you.